organizations are imparting training and developing sustainable aquaculture. NACWA's response to the restoration and development needs of the coastal communities so badly affected by the devastating 2004 tsunami is an example of its commitment to societal concerns. I have admired Dr. Pillai's ability to mobilize financial support from donors for the successful working of the global networking programs in aquaculture that he initiated. So also my friend, Dr. Chen Thu Yan, later emulating the same. The requirement and conditions vary from country to country and regionally also. The focus of Dr. Pillai was on the use of locally available fish species and development of appropriate technologies for food production and supply, and prevention and treatment of diseases of locally important species under culture. Integration of aquaculture with area development plans, especially in inland and coastal areas, with allied sectors such as agriculture and forestry, was one of the underlying principles of his approach to aquaculture development. Enlarging the areas of operations, NACWA today functions from 18 countries in Asia Pacific, with considerable diversity in living style, economic, socio-economics, and food habits. Coordination of activities under such diversity is a major task. So also, the effective monitoring of a widespread network. The reports of the regional and lead centers to be presented here should bring out how effective this coordination has been and how best this can be streamlined. Aquaculture is increasing in importance throughout most of Asia and is likely to continue expanding. The global population is predicted to increase by about 50% to almost 9 billion people, with the largest share in this region, before it stabilizes towards the end of the century. At 70% increase in food production, it will require us to support an increasingly affluent population, and as income rises, people diversify and improve their diet habits, demanding healthier, tasty and value-added food. Asia produces 92% of global aquaculture, and Asian aquaculture is characterized by small-scale, family-operated farms that are typically less than 1 hectare in area, and the sector is a major source of income and employment for rural communities. With Asia rapidly expanding and increasingly affluent populations coming in, the greatest demand for fish will be for domestic rather than for export market. Traditional aquaculture has still relevance for the poor seeking to diversify their small farms. Its principles, when compared to intensive aquaculture practices, has relevance for the lowering of cost of production and also improving environmental sustainability. NACWA has played a vital role in improving traditional aquaculture practices and development of better management practices for culture-based fisheries development in Asia, especially the striped catfish in the Mekong River Delta of Vietnam, implemented through groups of small-scale farmers to improve their efficiency and profitability. This has resulted in the massive expansion of striped catfish production over the past decade in Vietnam, with an annual production now exceeding 1 million metric tons. NACA was also instrumental in developing culture-based fisheries in 11 seasonal reservoirs in Sri Lanka, stocking common carp, tilapia, and Labia decimulare, with financial support from the Australian Centre for International Agricultural Research. This has provided means of increasing food supply in rural areas in Sri Lanka. I hope NACA will extend such activities in other member countries. Hill streams, especially cold water fishes, form an important component in the agricultural practices in the Himalayan region of the countries such as Nepal, China, India, Myanmar, and Pakistan. NACA may consider assisting cold water aquaculture practices as it has no ongoing activities in this field. Climate change is affecting the farming systems worldwide. It is expected that the impacts will be disproportionately felt by small-scale farmers, who are already amongst the most poor and vulnerable members of the society. NACA's efforts to map farmer perceptions and attitudes towards climate change impacts and adaptive capabilities to address these impacts in 4 Asian countries, including the shrimp culture practices in India, through the Aqua Climate Project, is highly admirable. I hope the project will provide the farmers with strategies to maintain their resilience to face climate change. Aquatic Animal Health Program of NACA's is helping the member countries to reduce the risk of aquatic animal diseases. One of the ACIAR projects aims to improve the capability of shrimp virus PCR laboratories in Vietnam, with well-developed plans for PCR lab registration and accreditation. I recall such a practice successfully developed and applied in India in NACA, ACIAR, SIBA, and MPDA project in 2005-2006. And I expect that NACA will extend further assistance to combat changes in newly emerging diseases, not only in shrimps, but also in freshwater prawns, finfishes, and mollusks in all the member countries. The Shrimp Health Management Extension Manual, prepared during the Joint Technical Assistance Program of NACA and MPDA at the time of white spot syndrome outbreak in 2002, and translated into Indian regional languages, namely Tamil, Telugu, and Oriya, was well received by the shrimp farmers of this region. The detailed pro forma of crop and shrimp pond management and daily sheets developed by NACA and MPDA have been adopted by over 700 shrimp farmer societies and are currently in practice in the Indian states of Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and Orissa. Incorporating the latest technologies such as molecular genetic tools in aquaculture and fisheries management will help to reduce negative impacts on biodiversity. NACA's programs on artificial propagation of indigenous marsupial species in Malaysia and conservation strategies for Mekong giant catfish through scientifically based enhancement programs has been successful. However, such an important program has not identified any component or activity in a biodiversity-rich country such as India. I urge the DG and office bearers of NACA to initiate propagation assisted rehabilitation of regionally important endangered freshwater food fishes, fish species, are the Western Ghats, and northeastern region of India, jointly with the National Bureau of Fish Genetic Resources at Lucknow and the Regional Land Lead Center, SIFA, at Bhubaneswar. Seven banks form the backbone in animal husbandry programs and that revolutionized the entire sector. NACA may initiate establishment of cost-effective milk banks or aquaculture for aquaculture species that would reduce the cost of broodstock maintenance, help in multiple breeding, avoid sacrificing males as in catfishes, and in producing superior strains. China has made considerable progress in selective breeding of its native shrimp, Phenolopineus chinensis, which may even compete with Leptopineus venami in the coming years. Similar efforts may be initiated in Indian white shrimp, Phenolopineus indicus, for faster growth rate in South Asian countries under the leadership of NACA in a collaborative mode with organizations such as the Central Institute of Brackish Water Aquaculture, SIBA in Chennai, and the Rajiv Gandhi Center for Aquaculture. Group aquaculture has led to a significant contribution to fish production and rural economy in coastal communities in Asia, and also played an important role in conservation of the fragile coastal reef fishes, which are increasingly being threatened with overfishing and habitat destruction. One of the major constraints in furthering grouper culture is seed supply. The hands-on training course of grouper hatchery production offered by NACA and the practical guides to feeds and the feed management and hatchery management have been immensely helpful in producing commercial quantities of grouper seed and enhancing skills in grouper culture in Southeast Asian Coral Triangle. The Rajiv Gandhi Center for Aquaculture, located in Tamil Nadu, in its program on cage culture for groupers in Andamans, benefited greatly from the advice of Dr. Mike Rimmer, founder of the Asia Pacific Marine Finfish Network, who came to the project through NACA. Other candidate species such as pomfrets, cobia, yellowfin tuna, and snappers can be included to widen the scope of seed production, stock enhancement, and mariculture in the region. Another area of interest is coastal zoning and management with a view to identify appropriate hassle-free sites for mariculture and coastal aquaculture with the help of GIS and land-based surveys. Possibilities of developing aquaculture practices in non-conventional species such as ornamental fishes and sea cucumbers can be attempted by NACA to increase the revenue of fishers as well as to curb over-exploitation of the resources from the wild. Experimental small-volume, high-density farming of locally important food fishes such as the pearl spot, Eutropterus suratensis, in floating net cages in South India was found to be highly rewarding. Such species may be prioritized in other member countries to develop appropriate region-specific aquaculture technologies in rural areas. Today, there is need for certification in aquaculture based on the chain of custody and the value chain system. The modalities of formulation of guidelines and execution of the same would be major tasks. I'm sure NACA could function as a catalyst to promote this activity aimed at good aquaculture practices and the best management practices for assuring quality products. Through well-organized network extension activities and publications, the role played by intergovernmental organizations such as the Bay of Bengal program has great visibility in India and other member nations, and they also disseminate information in several regional languages. Likewise, NACA, with more linkages, extension and development activities in the region, could play a pivotal role. Sharing the fruits of research with countries in the network should strengthen linkages. NACA may organize more training programs, enhance technology dissemination, and promote visits of professionals among the countries for the overall development of aquaculture in the region. As at the same time, it may also strengthen its interaction with other similar international networks for better utilization of appropriate technologies and expertise. Talking of network, it reminds me of the webbing of fishing nets. And fortunately, we have in our midst our greatest expert on nets, Dr. Meena Kumari. She will agree with me in what I say, that through ages, fishing nets have evolved from weakness to strength and durability through the use of successfully improved netting material, culminating now in the use of ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene, UHMWPE, popularly known as Dyneema. Its characteristics, such as low weight, resistance to weathering, and high durability, strengthen its webbing to last longer and function efficaciously. NACA may similarly strengthen its networking in the member countries as well as international organizations to increase its visibility, improve livelihood of rural communities to contribute towards fish food security and aquaculture sustainability. Today you have assembled here for the Governing Council meeting, which should also elect a new Director General to head this august body, which has been ably steered during the last 5 years by Dr. Sena de Silva. The world is slowly recovering from a devastating economic recession. In this scenario, the new Director General will have the formidable task of generating resources for various activities of the organization. I am sure wisdom will prevail in the selection of the new Director General. Once again, I thank Dr. Sena de Silva and Dr. Ayyappan for giving me the opportunity to participate in this inaugural function. I wish NACA a very bright future. Thank you.